This is the Are You Screwed podcast.
12 to 3 is going to be an entire stadium of sad drunks at Rutgers Stadium.
Three-star recruit. I'd upgrade him to about 3.14159. I call him the Pie Man.
There was like a screw pretty much lodged in my ass the rest of the game.
I mean, like, yes.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
Arriba! Arriba! Arriba!
Puka Williams doesn't have any toes on one of his feet.
What?
No, not, stop it!
Baker's Quakers.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
This is a disaster.
The Are You Screwed podcast, where Adam is banned from bringing things in after his terrible story last week, trying to talk about Dumb and Dumber. You should download our episode from last week, the name of which I have forgotten at this point. Max, I'm here with Adam. No Mike this week on the Are You Screwed podcast. Guys, or guy, because Mike's not here.
Singular guy.
Greg Schiano appears to be on the precipice of part two in Piscataway. P words.
Yeah. Wow. It really may happen. Really may happen. I think you still have to remind yourself, or you still have to pinch yourself a little bit. Like, it's still Rutgers. There still is a way that this may not work out, but there might be a way this does work out. And it's Greg Schiano potentially coming back. It's still really weird to consider that. And I still can't believe that they're at this point right now where, search firm or not, and I don't care if you're paying $90,000 or $500,000, if they got to this point where they figured out that Greg Schiano was the right move, okay. Welcome back, Greg.
And there are so many different places we can go with this. We can talk about hiring the search firm to tell you to hire Greg Schiano. We can talk about that. We can talk about how it really wasn't that long ago, what, like 5-6 weeks ago, that we were sitting in this exact place joking, ha ha ha, we can get Schiano, maybe here's a ridiculous song. Chris Ash wasn't even fired at this point, at that point, and now here we are like 6 weeks later, and it looks like this is actually about to happen.
Yeah, like, the big question is, how much influence do you have?
Oh, all
like
of
you
it.
Personally.
Yeah, like,
because I think your songs had a lot to do with the result that we're at. Like, you maybe sped up the process a good month or so.
There's no thinking about it. Look at the facts here, people. So Rutgers loses to Boston College 30-16 on Saturday, I think September 21st. We Can Get Schiano, Maybe. The song comes out a couple days later when we release our episode. Chris Ash fired 5 days later. All the rumors start, and we appear to be days away from We Get Schiano, definitely.
You know what's got to happen at this point. If, again, we'll talk more about Greg and where we're at, but it seems like it's going to happen. And if it does happen, there's only one thing that we could do at this point, and we did it to Chris Ash. We did it with Pat Hobbs overall and his idea about grit. And we got Richie to ask a question to Chris Ash about what does grit mean to him. You bet in that introductory press conference, Greg Schiano will be asked, has he heard the song, We Could Get Schiano, Maybe?
I highly doubt that.
I will make it my mission to make sure that somebody asks that question.
You know, I actually wouldn't be surprised if he has heard the song, just because we know from Schiano's first go-around at Rutgers that if there's one thing Greg Schiano knows, it's what every one in the media is saying about him and Rutgers football at all times. And apparently, I guess we're kind of sort of part of the media at this point, right? I mean, we're not like journalists or anything, but we have a good enough following at this point where, for whatever reason, not that our voices matter or not that our opinions matter, but we're out there. We're one of the more popular Rutgers sports podcasts. Not that that really means a lot, but like, we're out there, and I'm actually sort of interested to see if this podcast is like ever on Greg Schiano's radar, because that could be fun.
It would be quite an understatement to see how pleased I would be if he actually was asked that question and then had to answered yes. Because I think somebody has shown him. I definitely believe that.
He's like, we've talked before on this podcast about the Bleacher Report article you wrote when you were, what, a sophomore at Rutgers?
Yeah, I believe so.
And it was about, you know, Rutgers needs to fire John McNulty. It was during the bad start in 2008. And that was when Bleacher Report was like a joke. That was when Bleacher Report was basically like Blogspot, where you could just write a blog or you could just write for Bleacher Report if you wanted to. And Greg Schiano knew about that, right? This podcast is way bigger than Adam's Bleacher Report columns were in 2008.
Very true.
By complete accident, by the way. So I think that's interesting. I also think it's going to be our very first poll. Has Greg Schiano heard We Can Get Schiano?
Yeah, absolutely.
Follow us on Twitter at RUScrewPod.
Please do. You know, it's surprising to a certain degree, but I guess we all expected it to kind of go this way, where we knew that the coaches that were not coaching at this moment, which was basically Butch Jones and Greg Schiano, which were going to be names linked to the job immediately, had kind of the inside track. And the problem with Pat Hobbs firing Chris Ash when he did, it allowed you time for that short list of in-season coaching candidates to be created, the Joe Moreheads of the world. By the way, I got a couple texts today that have been asking me, hey, is this really going to happen with Greg? And I'm like, I trust the NJ Advanced Media guys and our guys, you know, Richie and everybody at Rutgers Rivals. And I'm just like, yeah, it seems like it's going to happen. And the one text I got was, I was really looking forward to a grown adult shaving his head and writing the word more on his head for Joe Morehead. Somebody's actually upset that that may not
That's
happen.
Great. That's fun.
So that is the influence that you, again, have on our listeners.
I'm a little bit disappointed, too. It kind of had an ulterior motive. I spoke many months ago on this podcast. I think we were talking about Kelvin Willard's phenomenal bald head.
Yeah.
And I was saying how, you know, if I ever get to a point where I'm losing my hair, like, a lot, I'm not going to be like the horseshoe guy. I'm going to shave it off. I kind of wanted to see what I was dealing with. If when down the line my hair starts to fall out, hey, can I do this, shave my head? You know, it would also be an excuse to do something funny for the podcast that people would like. The Joe Moorhead thing doesn't look like it's going to happen. But by the way, Joe Moorhead back. I think they ran for like 470 yards against, you know, Arkansas, but they did it. Joe Moorhead back, but don't think he's coming to Rutgers.
Yeah, so my point being is that there was going to be enough time during the season. Chris Ash was fired so early. The candidates were going to come up and down. There was no real mystery candidate that was emerging at any point that kind of took over the internet. It was always about Greg Schiano. And so if you're going to get to this point where you were ready to make a hire, it was either going to be probably Greg Schiano or Butch Jones. Or it had to be a backroom deal that was going to seem shady with somebody who's coaching what... Like, it was going to be Jeff Monken. It was going to be Lance Leipold. Like, that's
speaking
where you're
of, at. Speaking of backroom deals, we got to talk about them.
Steve Belichick, by the way, Steve Belichick stock down now.
If you watch that game.
You can't take him as a Rutgers coach anymore.
If you watch that game last night between we're recording this on Monday, the Patriots and the Ravens, I don't know what's going on with Steve Belichick's hair, but he's certainly got an interesting haircut going on. By the way, I know this isn't like an NFL podcast, but Mohamed Sanu is going to become a star with the Patriots because
Shocker.
If there's one thing we know that Mohamed Sanu knows how to do, it's be really good within 3 to 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. Tweeted out last night that the Patriots were running the 2011 Rutgers offense, which was just Chase Dodd throwing it to Mohamed Sanu like 15 times a game. Patriots are doing it last night. It was working kind of well. He is going to be a star with the Patriots. A friend and I have actually been talking about that for years, jokingly. Hey, when he goes to the Patriots, he's going to be a star. And we're going to start to see that play out a little bit. But as far as Steve Belichick is concerned, yeah, I don't know if he's really the hot name. Stock down. Coaching stock up. Coaching stock down. You know, we'll talk some point about people. There are rumors of a coup going on in the Rutgers athletic department. And coups are always fun as long as they're not like real life, like violent military political coups. If it's like happening to kind of take over the
conspiracy theory coups, I'm okay with discussing that.
Yeah, to take over the world's like crappiest athletic department. So like, you know, that could be something fun to talk about. But yeah, no mystery candidate. They apparently made Butch Jones fly to Chicago to interview for a job. He probably wasn't going to get poor Butch Jones, or I guess poor rich Butch Jones, making him fly out there. And the interview went well, according to what we read on NJ.com. But we were always pretty certain that it was going to be Greg Schiano.
If it wasn't, though, I think at this point, I mean, let's think for a second. I don't believe this. The, you know, search firm essentially came up with this idea all of a sudden. They had their list and like they were like, well, it's only going to be Butch or Greg Schiano. Everybody else kind of we don't think is.
These,
you know,
these search
at that
firms,
level. No, they're jokes.
But
they're
don't
jokes.
Do the work that quickly.
We need to start one, by the way. They just make a lot of money for offering.
I told them to hire Greg Schiano before they fired Chris Ash. You pay me however many hundreds of thousands of dollars. I just put it in song form,
only,
man.
Only 88,000 they're going to probably wind up owing them by the end
88,
of this
88,000? All right, we'll take 88,000.
I mean, for Rutgers, in terms of like incompetence in search firms in the past and, you know, paying lawyers, that's a bargain for Rutgers.
I'll take $88. Like, well, you know, for the song. Hey, we told you. Did you really need to hire them to do that?
No, you did not. And I think for the most part, everybody saw it going in this direction. I think a majority of the fan base is going to be really excited. And now, listen, this week we joked all along of how miserable and how funny it was going to be that Rutgers was going to be having a bad season, was off during the bye week of the 150th anniversary, happened to also coincide with this weekend being the 13th anniversary of the Louisville game. It'll fall, the 9th will fall on the Saturday. So all around just a weird week for Rutgers to be off. Add to the fact that Rutgers, even though they were off, really didn't plan very well for some type of celebration. We had joked about it in a couple of text chains. Like, there's no big parade, no mass celebration going on at Rutgers. Like, they're unveiling a sign and having a panel.
2 p.m., ringing of the old bells, the bells at Old Queens, open to the public. 3:30, they're going to unveil a sign in the parking lot behind the College Ave gym, also open to the public. And at 6 p.m., there will be a celebration of the birthplace, 150 years of college football, cocktail hour, and red carpet arrival, a.k.a. donor event. New Brunswick Performing Arts Center, attendance by invite only. So they're ringing a bell, and they're showing a sign. Here's the thing, though. Sign unveil, 3:30, celebration of the birthplace, 6 o'clock. A lot of time in there to announce that Greg Schiano is back.
Somebody brought up a couple good
ideas. This is on Wednesday. We're recording this on Monday, you're listening after.
Yeah, so there's a very good chance at some point, if you're listening later in the week, you've already just found out that Greg Schiano is the head coach. So congratulations. It's awesome. We're all going crazy and very happy for it.
And the things that we're saying are even more irrelevant than they typically are.
And it happened. What we're going to predict actually happened, because I've made the joke, you know, that on homecoming after Chris Ash was fired, that was the time to announce Greg Schiano back. Remember, I planned, put him in the booth with Eric LeGrand, all that great stuff. So we have to
Goodness gracious,
he's gonna be up there, little, you know, Susan Waldman style. So we got to revamp that. We got to figure something out. You can do a couple. One, have Greg ring the bells at Old Queens to announce that he's returning. Essentially, it's our Pope White Smoke. That's Greg back. Okay, the next thing you could do is you announce that he's back on that day. You can hold the press conference maybe at halftime during the basketball game. Just, you know.
Oh, yeah, there's a basketball game on Thursday.
Maybe we'll talk a little basketball at some point today. No, but maybe you hold the press conference on Wednesday on the anniversary. Then Thursday, Greg gives a pump-up speech at halftime of the game at the rack. You actually announce that he's going to speak prior to that Thursday. On Wednesday, he says, I'll be at the rack. I'm going to speak to and sold out rack. Sold out rack.
Can you imagine how infuriated, like, the basketball first fans would be if Greg Schiano, like, upstages the most anticipated Rutgers basketball season in the past 15 years? Shout out to Dave White and to our buddy Danny Breslauer over at the Scarlet Spotlight podcast.
Yeah. So you could do that. Or my other idea was, again, you're off this week, and it's the 13th anniversary on Saturday of beating Louisville. Hold a screening, open up the stadium, put it on the big board, show the game, and then have Greg do a welcome to everybody in the stands.
If that happens, we have to go record from there live.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're busy on
Saturday.
I'm
supposed to be working. I will take off.
Sure,
I'll
I have something off. Better to do on Saturday. We'll cancel it, and we will be at the stadium in the parking lot, maybe broadcasting from the upper deck. They would never let us do that. But, like, whatever. If that happens, we will be there.
Yeah.
In some form.
I think this is going to, obviously, there's going to be a jolt to this fan base, at least first, when Greg Schiano, if it seems like this is going in this direction. We could discuss when it comes out, the years, the money, all that stuff.
Forever.
Yeah.
Like, his contract will be forever.
There is a lot to discuss in terms of once we get to this point. But it is just, we're now getting down that home stretch. We're like at that last sprint finish, and it's getting very exciting.
I mean, personally, right, I was way more excited for, like, the possibility of Greg Schiano coming back than, like, Greg Schiano actually coming back. I mean, it was fun to kind of get behind, and, you know, we'll see if he comes and he can actually turn things around here. But I'll be disappointed when the coaching search is finally over, because it's been so much fun.
This is your baby.
The songs and the, oh, who's it gonna be? Is it gonna be Moorhead? I'll shave my head if it's Moorhead. And, you know, the thing about when Greg Schiano is hired, and it will be exciting, and the people who are excited to kind of have some of the nostalgia, that's okay. Not every moment has to be about, oh, how's he gonna rebuild it? Okay, recruit. How's the team gonna get better? You can stop for a minute and you can appreciate the nostalgia and just kind of, you know, the appreciation of having Greg Schiano back in your life, and that interesting tone that he talks in, that's kind of like he talks softly but also intensely. Is that a good way of describing the way that Greg Schiano talks? It's like It's like he's quiet. Just, he's just but got, intense.
He's got a presence to him. Mm-hmm. He's just one of he's an intimidating figure. And I think when he walks into the room, you know he's there. I think that's why people like him in terms of the potential recruiting aspect and everything that he brings in terms of cleaning up the perception of the program. So I think there's tons of pros. We're going to be reminded as soon as he starts coaching, actually, of the game day flaws, and we're going to be bothered and annoyed by some things, and that's great.
And the first
that's
couple of years are going to be painful.
Yeah,
his first couple of years.
I was listening to the NJM AM guys, and their podcast came out again. We're taping on Monday. It came out today as well, and I was listening to it, and James Cratch brought up a couple good points, too. Like, they're a really long ways away still from being even, you know, to the upper success of mediocre. Like, this is going to be a very painful climb for whoever was going to be the coach. And so Greg Schiano can't come in here and magically snap his fingers and everybody expect to be an 8-win team next year.
But do you want to get a little pumped up about Greg Schiano? Because I want to replay the story, or one of the stories that Savon Huggins told us. Great episode from a couple of months back. Save Us Huggins with Savon Huggins. He told so many great stories about his time at Rutgers and about Greg Schiano. And here was an amazing recruiting story that Savon told us.
But I remember this one thing. This was before the pavilion in Rutgers was built underneath the Jumbotron. And right as it was being built, Coach Schiano had a mini junior day, select junior day. And he brought in the top talent from the tri-state area. So it was about maybe like 40 kids, just 40. Like junior days are usually like 200 to 300 people.
A lot bigger.
And they were still doing construction in the pavilion. But, you know, they had all the parents come, and Coach Schiano put us in a back room. And in the back room, it was a big circle of chairs. And there was, this time was Tom Savage, Muhammad Sanu, you know, I forget who the other receiver, Tim Wright, like guys who were really successful at the time.
Right.
And all the kids went back there. So the parents were in the pavilion mingling with each other. He brought all the recruits back there in this big circle. And he spoke to us, and he said, just imagine if all you guys stayed home. And then he walked out. And then we all sat there in this big circle looking at each other. Like, I'm getting the chills thinking about it. Because it was so, like when I think back on it, like, you know, I'm not thinking like that, but I'm like, yo, he really strategically did this on purpose. And the way he did it, selecting certain people, making you feel wanted, you know, and putting you in an environment where the other people he's recruiting are sitting next to you. He's not putting like a kid they gave an offer to, but they don't really want. Like people that you know, that you played against, that you see, and he put them all. I mean, I'll never forget, like at the time, I mean, there were people coming on visits to Rutgers that even wanted to go to Rutgers, but the energy there was crazy.
People were coming on recruiting visits to Rutgers just to like experience being recruited by Greg Schiano.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, I have, you know, we forget there's been some weird kind of theme on, you know, the Twitter world and the message boards and wherever within the Rutgers community sometimes that Greg was somewhat overstaying his welcome by the time he left to go to Tampa Bay. And I think that is wrong. There were plenty of issues with Greg can't get over the hump. Greg's losing a certain team, whatever, right? Which is, there is some kind of merit to it.
I don't think so, though.
Well, no. There's absolute fact, in my opinion, that he couldn't beat certain teams, and it was disappointing that he never outright won a Big East championship. He had the talent to do so, and they should have, in my opinion, won one of those years. But that doesn't make his tenure a failure, or by the time he left, overstaying his welcome. My point being more was that when he left, if you remember, that was the best incoming recruiting class that he ever was going to have at Rutgers right before he left. And we saw what Kyle Flood was able to do with that team the next 2 years, essentially. So to me, it was just one of those things where the narrative that he was overstaying his welcome and he was kind of starting to fizzle a little bit, like, that's not true. And so he was having success under Urban Meyer at Ohio State in terms of recruiting. There are some kids right now rumored to kind of be interested in Greg Schiano if he came to Rutgers, and they were guys that he recruited while he was at Ohio State. Like, this guy hasn't been out of the game for 10 years. He could still do it. He's going to do it, and I think that is the immediate jolt that Rutgers will feel if they actually wind up hiring Greg Schiano.
I think that the thing about Greg Schiano that I'm excited for is that we know he's a good coach. We know that he has his warts, but we also know that he's a good coach. I'm always a proponent for not like, well, obviously Greg Schiano didn't get fired, but not to fire the coach that you know is good. An example of this is in the NFL years ago when the Eagles fired Andy Reid. And I was like, you know what? I know they've had some trouble and they haven't been able to get over the hump, but you know Andy Reid's a good coach. And obviously things worked out for the Eagles, two coaching hires later when they won a Super Bowl. But I just think it's... just be grateful because you know that Greg Schiano is a good coach. You're not hiring someone unknown. I don't know if Butch Jones would be a better candidate. We've said this so many times. We have no idea who the best guy for the job is. And hey, if Greg's coming back, let's go. Let's make some songs and let's go. By the way, we have a new song today that I didn't make. Adam has made a song.
Yeah, so...
What's that about?
I've been...
I don't know why I'm talking in this voice.
You're excited. I felt the spirit. I felt the max enthusiasm with the songwriting. And I basically listened to everything that you have said these last couple of episodes and giving people advice. How do you make a song? How does it come together? And I came up with a song.
Yeah, I was really ready to make you my wanker of the week because... I'm trying to find the text that you sent. It said something to the effect of, I might have a Butch Jones song for tomorrow. And I'm like, what do you mean might? Like, you have an idea for a Butch Jones song and you're not recording it right now or writing it right now? Like, you better make this song. I was hitting
writer's block at that time. I had had like a couple verses down. I was starting to get down on myself. And then something started clicking. Next thing you know, I was like, this is so bad. It might be really, really good.
What normally happens when I'm writing the songs is that all of the song lyrics, except for one line, are written in like 20 minutes. But then there's one line that you trip up on.
That's what happened.
So long.
Yeah.
And you just you get stuck on it. And that's usually what takes the longest part is that last line to try and figure out.
Okay. So I guess we might as well get to it and I'll intro it here and we'll let everybody listen to it and you'll judge for yourself.
Max
has not heard it. I sent it to him. I said, please don't open it until we actually play it during the recording. So again, this kind of came about with Halloween being over. We kind of turn our attention towards that festive holiday season, family time and all that stuff. And not just Thanksgiving, but I'm talking about more like Christmas, Hanukkah, like that. That's what I was talking about, some stuff with my wife about it. So that's where I got this idea where I was like, I need something that has like a little holiday cheer to it. And we had talked plenty of times about Butch Jones. And with him getting the interview this week at Rutgers, maybe he would be the guy. So here's my song about Butch Jones with a very special guest doing the song with me.
Well, we have an open job. You are an intern. Let's see your coaching resume. Nick Saban can be stern.
Oh, Lyle, Lyle, Lyle. This job's a powder keg. I guess we only need you if we don't get Greg.
You followed Brian Kelly and had so much success. Then you went to Knoxville and now they're just a mess.
Oh, Lyle, 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 this job's a powder keg. I guess we only need you if we don't get Greg.
What system would you go with so we could score a point? Harder, Johnny Langan, which QB would you anoint?
Oh, Lyle, 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 this job's a powder keg. I guess we only need you if we don't get Greg.
I have a major question for you about this job. Do you have jersey ties or know someone in the mob?
Oh, Lyle, 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 this job's a powder keg. It's time for me to tell you, it's going to be Greg.
That's so good and so bad and so good.
Right?
Oh, man, that's so good.
I was very, very happy the way this turned out. So true story, the way this actually came about was, again, the ideas kind of kept coming and I kind of got the first, like you said, you had that one line. I was like, how could I make fun of Butch Jones? The Lyle stuff, we said, you got to call him Lyle if he's ever going to get the job at Rutgers.
Oh,
and so I don't know how dreidel popped into my head, but I was like, oh, I can maybe make this work. I got it down. I recorded it once and Charlie was hearing me do it. And I came back upstairs and
Charlie was like, Adams' wife,
voice of the podcast. And many times, and she was like, can I be a part of it? And I was like, are you serious right now? Like, you actually, like, if you're going to do this, you're committing to it. And like, it's going to be played no matter how bad it is. And she committed 100% to it.
It's so good. So. That was so good. I encourage everyone, look, you just heard it from Adam. You've heard it from me many times. You heard it from our guy Andrew, who did We Can Skip Shiano. Maybe you do not need to have a good voice to do this. I kind of want to pressure Mike into making his song.
Yeah.
He has an idea for a song about Bob Cerace. Now, he's not going to get the head coaching job, but hey, maybe he'll be a candidate to be the offensive coordinator. I just really want to put the pressure on Mike to make his Bob Cerace song, because it would be phenomenal. He only has one line, but it would be good.
This is where I wish we had the money to do like one of those animated cartoons to that song, with Greg Schiano on one side of the dreidel and like Butch Jones head on the other side, maybe Joe Moorhead, right? You could put everybody, you know, some coaching candidates' heads on there.
If you're
and just do that.
Like a Rutgers student or like a young person or anyone who knows anything about graphic design and could do something with Greg Schiano's face on a dreidel, that would be welcome. We've actually got a listener, Neil, who's a big fan of the podcast, who emailed some lyrics to a song he had written. The lyrics are really good. It's just to a song that I'm not like all that familiar with. He wants me to perform it.
And oh, okay.
I'm kind of weary about it, because I don't really know the song all that well. It's a Bruce Springsteen song, and I'm not the biggest Springsteen fan, but I don't really know this particular song that well. But send in your lyrics, send in your songs, record them. If you have ideas, please do them, because what Adam just did was phenomenal. Also, with Christmas and Hanukkah and holidays coming up, like there are a lot of songs that are so easy to parody, especially holiday songs are so easy.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to holiday season. I think we can come up with some good ones. So I was very happy with myself on that overall.
So before we get too far off the rails, a little bit disjointed today. Obviously, Mike isn't here. I thought we could use some help in kind of guiding us today, and something we did a couple of episodes back when Adam wasn't here, is we introduced you to our friend, the Random Topic Generator. One of the things that I want to do around here is we have too many segments, right? And I kind of wanted to be more efficient, so I've combined the Random Topic Generator with another one of our great segments, and see if you can spot what that segment is.
Gear up, folks. It's the Scarlet 7. I am the Random Topic Generator. When prompted, I will give Adam, Mike, and Max something to talk about. This cutting-edge segment is brought to you by InspiritCollegeBrand.com. Let's get started.
So it's the Scarlet 7, brought to you by the Random Topic Generator.
Love it. I'm all in on this idea. Mm-hmm. So she's just going to spit stuff out. I think when I listened back to that episode, it was this Random Topic Generator comes up with an idea, throws it out there, you just kind of discuss. Something that has never been done before in the history of media, where they kind of just throw a topic out there and you have a limited time to kind of get your, I could say it, Mike's not here, your hot takes out there.
Yeah, your hot takes, your cold takes,
gotcha.
Your lukewarm takes, whatever they happen to be. And so I'm going to fire up the Random Topic Generator to get started here.
Rutgers scored points on the road.
Yay!
Yeah!
Woo! They did play a football game. We are nearly a half an hour in to this taping, and we haven't mentioned that Rutgers lost to Illinois this weekend.
Yeah, they did. Did you see any of the game?
No.
No.
And I gotta be honest, I've always enjoyed having Rutgers football in my life. For like the past month, though, it's been a nice little reprieve with how bad things have been actually on the field. Not watching many live snaps, I'm kind of like, this isn't bad.
I still want to watch the games. I sort of half watch it.
It's tough right now.
Our not here co-host, it was his birthday this past week, so he had some people over at his place, and I was like half watching the game. They competed well in the first half. It was 10-10 at halftime. Offense showed some signs of life, some good passes by Johnny Langan, especially the touchdown pass he threw up to Muhammad Jabi, who caught his first touchdown pass. But it's kind of crazy to believe, because he's a really talented player who's just kind of gotten caught in the abyss of what the offense has been the last couple of years, but he got his first career touchdown. The defense really hung in there, and it's kind of the same deal as what we've seen with the defense, in that they play well, and they just give up too many big plays, and I think that you know, fans can look at the second half where Illinois scored 28 points and I think like 13 minutes of game action and say, oh, you know, if you don't have that pick six and you don't have that fumble, you know, you're right there. But that's what bad teams do, is that they give up a lot of points in a short amount of time and then the game's over. We've actually seen it a lot with Rutgers basketball over the years where, you know, you're parroting, oh, they're just a shooter away. Like, no, well, they couldn't, when you can't stop the 20.
Just down eight. They're just
down
eight.
They're down eight 5 minutes into the second half, where Rutgers basketball has been for 15 years, down eight to the 15th ranked team in the country with 15 minutes to go in the game, just a shooter away. But then with it's the same deal where they just, you know, the basketball team can't stop the 25-6 run, and the football team, you know, outside of a few minutes. We saw the same thing against Maryland in that game where it was, you know, decent for most of the game, but they just, you know, you get ran off the field at a couple of points. Ball security problems abound. I liked what I saw from Kayron Adams and Aaron Young filling in for the injured Isaiah Pacheco. They look really good. The backs are good. Like, the depth at running back, we heard a lot of things before the season about the depth here and the depth there and where they're good and where they have a lot of depth. Everyone was telling the truth about running back. All of these running backs are really good. They have four legitimate Big Ten running backs on the roster. I guess three if you no longer count Raheem Blackshear as being on the roster. We're all assuming he's going to transfer. But these backs are really good, and I'm excited to see what Kayron Adams and Aaron Young can do going forward. They'll have bigger roles for the rest of the season, and especially next year. Under probably head coach Greg Schiano. Other than that, there's not really much from the game. You know, Langan made
how was Lovie's beard?
Lovie's good. Lovie's beard looked great. Lovie Smith has a great beard, epic beard. I think a lot of Illinois fans. There's an S there. I'm going to say the S. Illinois. There's a lot of Illinois fans who are disappointed with their win over Rutgers because it looks like they're going to become bowl eligible, and a lot of them want to get rid of Lovie Smith. But it just, again, it just shows that Rutgers is far away from competing in the Big Ten. But the funny thing about Illinois is you see how bad they are. Like, you see how much easier life is in the West. Like, Illinois is not a good team.
But they're
5-4. They're probably going to make a bowl. All they have to do is beat an awful Northwestern team.
I was about to bring up Northwestern. They're going to potentially... Rutgers was really helped out by the UMass and Liberty game, so it's really boosted Rutgers' points per game overall. Northwestern is in danger of finishing with averaging under 10 points per game. They'd be the first Power 5 school to do that since 2001.
How about this? Northwestern's passer efficiency rating is lower than Rutgers has ever been in the past 4 years. Like, that's how bad things are at Northwestern right now in their passing game. Worse than anything Rutgers has put out there the last 4 years as far as passing efficiency is concerned. Why couldn't Northwestern be on the schedule this season?
Yeah, I know. Life is way easier in the Big Ten West, so, I mean, we've always said that forever.
Nine win Indiana.
Yeah, I guess people don't, you know.
Indiana, 7-2. That's my last year, my second Big Ten team was Purdue, just because I really like Rondale Moore and I like the things they were doing. Indiana is my fun, like, second Big Ten team this year. Because they're pretty good. They're a decent team.
That was one where this past weekend I regret not getting on a game. That seemed obvious, where Indiana scores a lot, Northwestern doesn't score at all this year. Like, that's one we should have probably aligned.
Or you know what the line was on it?
It wasn't that big. It was somewhere where, I want to say, in the mid-teens range, and they easily covered that one. But overall, I mean, Rutgers has a long way to go. I don't know any other way to say it. Sucks that there is talent at certain positions. At the end of the day, I would love to see this running back core with a half decent offensive line. They'd stay in football games. Like, it'd be, you know, 41-21 more often than it is, you know, 41-10.
And I think this game was also another example of how hard it is to stay in games when you can't throw the ball down the field all that often. It just shows, like, you can do it for a half, and you can get to 10-10, but it's going to be hard to keep up, even with a team like Illinois, when you can't pass the ball.
All right, so we didn't miss that much, I guess, when it comes to another road loss.
All right, let's move on.
Ohio State is next. Oh, God.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's what it's pretty much going to be for Rutgers. What is that spread going to be?
55?
They're a 43-point favorite, I think, against Maryland this week.
Yeah, 40. They're at home against Maryland. It opened at minus 44. I didn't see if it moved since then. And Rutgers lost to Maryland by 41. So that's going to make it Ohio State minus 85.
Didn't we ask this on an episode a few weeks ago? What would the number have to be for you to not take Ohio State?
60? I don't know. I mean, you know, the thing is, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, because, like, I know people think that this game isn't interesting. I think it's very interesting. this Ohio State game, because how is Ohio State going to treat this game? Like, how are they going how are they going to treat it? Because you would assume that Ohio State's like third stringers could still run up the score against Rutgers. How are they going to play it? Because they still have to run plays. Like, I'm just interested to see, how do you think this game is going to go? Is it going to be 49-0 at halftime? Is Ohio State just going to kind of half-ass it and be up 24-0 at halftime? Because something that's interesting, Rutgers against Ohio State historically, or at least in the last 5 years, has hung with Ohio State for a quarter. Like, they haven't had one of these games like even they had against Indiana, where they were down 21-0 a couple of minutes in. Ohio State's kind of played with them a little bit in the first quarter, as Ohio State tends to do in these games, and then blow up in the second quarter. So I'm actually interested to see how this game is going to go. We know it's not going to go well for Rutgers, but I'm actually interested, is it going to be the game that it could be, where Ohio State wins, you know, 84-0, or is it just going to be like a ho-hum 59-3 kind of game?
That would be, yeah, I mean, somewhere where I probably, like, are we going to see the epic 78-0 type? I don't think we will, but I don't know. You could talk me either way into it.
I have no idea, because this Ohio State team is, in my view, leaps and bounds better than any of the other Ohio State teams that have rolled Rutgers the last few years. This team is good. Justin Fields is an incredible player. And
this game could, by the way, be at 3:30 in the afternoon for a lot of people to see, like on television, not actually at the game.
Well, they're a top three team in the country. Some people have them at number one, and so sometimes just it doesn't matter who the opponent is. That game is put on ABC at 3:30 just because, hey, it's Ohio State and people are going to watch anyway. Yeah, it came out today. It's either going to be at noon, 3:30, or I guess 4, which would make it the Fox game. I think 4 o'clock is the Fox game. If it's at
or
4.
Fox Sports 1, I think probably also has that 4 o'clock
spot. Okay.
I don't know. Either way, wow. Not going to be good.
No, it's
not going to be good, but...
Unless, I mean, it could be, not on the field, it's not going to be good, but maybe Greg Schiano's in the stadium.
Yeah, could have, again, you're probably going to have a head... It seems like Greg Schiano at this point, all momentum moving forward to where he'll be the head coach before that Ohio State
game. We had some people tweeted us that, we only have 2 games, I guess, left to do this, the Ohio State game and the Michigan State game. We should try and create one of those viral crowd moments, where there's like a guy asleep,
yeah,
or there's a woman knitting or
yeah.
something. Like, I don't know how we could do it for the end of the year, but obviously the empty seats are going to be there. I don't know how exactly we could create, or we could not hire somebody. We could commission somebody and not pay them. We're not paying anyone. Yeah.
Tweet us some ideas.
Yeah, tweet us some ideas. If you're a fan who's willing to like go on the upper deck and have your kids take out like a board game and start playing in like on the stairway or something like that, that could be funny.
Or send, tag us on a message board post, Rutgers.rivals, our friends over there. So go ahead and do that.
What was your go-to board game as a kid?
Go-to board game as a kid was probably, I loved Candyland.
Candyland, like an older kid or like a younger
like,
kid?
I would say you probably stopped playing Candyland by the time you were 8 or 9. Yeah.
Queen Frostine and all that. And them people.
What else would be really good?
Trouble. I like Trouble. Trouble was good. It was fun to pop the
I guess
the
it's not a
middle.
Board game, but I like the ones where you had to memorize their faces. And
guess who? Yeah, guess who? Guess who is a good game.
Okay, so there you go. Those are I enjoyed those as kids. Are you a big board game fan now as an adult?
Not really. Like I like the games like Catchphrase. I like those kinds of games. Not really board games, but like party games.
Yeah.
I'm good at those. I enjoy those. Have we kind of exhausted everything we need to talk about Rutgers football? Well, bye week this week, Ohio State.
Yeah.
I think we're
good at that. For a majority of you, by the time you listen to this, Greg Schiano is going to be head coach.
Right. So should we move on to the next?
What else is she got in there?
Let's fire her up.
Wake up the echoes.
Huh. Notre Dame fan?
What is that?
You ever heard Wake Up the Echoes?
Like I didn't.
The
I didn't,
phrasing, Wake Up the Echoes.
I didn't know what that phrase was until yesterday.
It's, I believe it's part of the Notre Dame fight song.
Okay.
In fact, I'm trying to recite it like in my head, wake up. Yeah, it's in there.
Well, why are we bringing it up? What's the reason? Why is it in the random topic generator?
I believe I saw it. Wasn't there a tweet or something?
Yeah, there's a tweet. Ron Garuti, major donor at Rutgers, guy who... major donor guy who I'm sure will be at the hoity-toity thing on Wednesday with all of the highfalutin Rutgers donors. He tweeted out yesterday afternoon. This was before Keith Sargent's NJ.com story came out about that there's an imminent meeting between Greg Schiano and Rutgers officials. We haven't talked about the Rutgers officials part of that.
I mean, we do have to talk about that.
Does that include a certain person? Oh, he tweeted out, Ron Garrity, okay, it's time, Rutgers, quotes, wake up the echoes. It's coming. I mean, that's confirmation, yeah. Right? That's confirmation.
Yeah, I mean, clearly there was evidence, there was rumblings at a certain point behind the scenes, there had to be, and then when I mean, basically, I'm guessing donors, the big donors at some point were told it's okay to kind of hint at it even further now.
But, like, why?
I don't know.
Did they let Pat Hobbs and those people, like, interview Butch Jones in Chicago just to make Pat Hobbs feel like he was in charge of something? Like, I don't really understand what the point was.
Him do that. Then they came back. Did they, like, lock him in a room and, like, start torturing him and be like, you have to give us permission to just, we're going to do this Greg Schiano contract without you, like, say the safe word. Like, and they're just doing all different terrible things to him to just let him give up control. Because I'm very curious.
I'd love to know what's really going on.
Right.
Someone tell us, please.
I'm ready to dive into the conspiracy theory a little bit in the sense that, hey, guys like Keith Sargent and Steve Politi and James Cratch have been telling us all along that there is no relationship. There is no established relationship between Pat Hobbs and Greg Schiano. And by all public accounts, they were not talking. There was no reaching out to Greg on the Pat Hobbs side of things. It was made to seem that all of the reaching out to Greg's camp was being done by the boosters with influence. And by the way, just to get it out there, this happens at every school. Every big-time major college football player, for the most part, their coaching searches are absolutely influenced by the people that give the most money. So it's not necessarily a coup. Maybe it is conspiracy theorists. You may be correct. But to a certain extent, those people are always going to have influence, and they're always going to have say of the athletic director, and are always going to be able to threaten with their wallet, especially at a place like Rutgers where there's so few of them. So there's reason why these people have a lot of power in terms of, hey, you should maybe talk to Greg, Pat, wink, wink. Like, I'm with you. I just wanted, like, someone needs to come out with, like, a short chapter, like, two-chapter book on this process.
Why can't it be, like, a full book? Why does that have to be, like, a short book? Do you have that form of
a very short attention span?
By the way, is it Schiano or Schiano? Like, I've never known. Is it ah or ah?
I would prefer my question be asked first at the press conference about the song, and then maybe the follow-up can be, by the way, Greg, how do you actually pronounce your last name?
Because I was talking, I do broadcasts for Central Jersey High School football on WCTC. I was talking to Mike Pavlichko, longtime Rutgers and high school football guy in this area. He didn't know. I mean, he said he'd always call him Schiano, but I'm like, is it Schiano? I always call him Schiano. I don't know. We don't even know how to say this guy's name. We're obsessed with this guy, and we don't even know how to say his name as a fan base.
How awesome would it be if they did some kind of spoof with, like, Sopranos where it, like, goes black and then Greg's face appears after, like, and that's the announcement for Greg.
And then we can get Schiano maybe comes
yeah.
on.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about coups and, like...
Coups. Oh, the deep state.
The deep
Rutgers
state.
Deep state.
Conspiracy theories.
We just want to know. That's what we're trying to say. We just want to know. And I mean, take a guess at what happened?
I have no idea. None of us know what's going on here. I have no idea. I don't even, like, even the people who know what's going on, like...
Well,
if you're not one of the donors and or the people in the athletic department, I don't think anyone really knows what's going on right now. Like, the article that was put out on Sunday night by NJ Advanced Media said that it was a meeting with Rutgers officials. Like, does that just mean the donors? Does that mean that Pat Hobbs is going to be there or is he not going to be there? Like, I just think there's so much interesting stuff going on in the athletic department. And, of course, something that we haven't yet gotten to. Should we just get to that next thing?
Hold on. I was going to say, was this like a Gary Waters thing where they sent Pat out to Chicago? Maybe his flight got mysteriously delayed and he couldn't make it back in time to go and interview Greg. Like, this is what's happening right now. But sure, I'm ready to talk. Let's fire up the
random topic generator.
You guys are fucking scum.
Us? Is she insulting us?
Is that her pontificating? Is that her opinion? Or is she referring to something that went on around Rutgers Sports in the last week?
I think she's referring to what's been going on with Pat Hobbs and this... report that came out from Keith Sargent and NJ Advanced Media.
Matthew Stanmeyer, the investigative reporter guy
right.
that they use.
In regards to alleged abuse from within the softball program and then further up the chain, what did Pat Hobbs, Sarah Baumgartner know and do about the alleged abuse with the softball players? And I mean,
I don't even know where to start.
This is going to get very serious. Very quickly, probably, as it should. And I would just like to state what I've said from the beginning.
Here comes the easy stance.
All I'm saying is when something is reported like this, your first reaction has to be, I believe them, and this is credible. It would not be reported otherwise, especially in this circumstance based on who's doing the reporting.
I want to talk about that part of it because one of the things that you find out really quickly when these things happen is who understands how journalism works and who doesn't understand how journalism works. And regardless of what you think of the actual allegations themselves and, you know, are these players just soft or whatever, or is this abuse? Regardless of what you feel on that part, the amount of Rutgers fans who went after Keith Sargent and, like, we're freaking out. This isn't newsworthy. No, it's newsworthy because the players, like, reported it to the athletic department, and at least one of them has retained an attorney, and many of them transferred. Like, it's newsworthy. In that regard, it's newsworthy just because that part of it happened. Seven players, I believe, are the amount that talked to Keith Sargent and Matthew Stanmeier. And if you listened to the Rutgers Rant podcast today, I listened to a little bit of it. Apparently, Keith Sargent said that after the story came out, more players contacted them. Were like, why didn't you talk to us? I don't know if they were current players or other players who had transferred, but
and not only
it's a story. Like, regardless of your thoughts on the actual allegations, don't go after the journalists who are just doing their job to report something that happened.
And I want to be clear because you left out one important detail. More people, according to Keith, came forward and said, I can corroborate your
reporting.
And
I stand behind the play.
Not just, why didn't you reach out to me, which a lot of people were crying foul online about. Keith said today he spoke to nearly 40 people that went into going into that story, corroborating evidence, you know, corroborating the allegations that went on here. It's absurd to question somebody like him and the work that he's done and proven along, you know, with Matt, who comes from the AP and is an investigative reporter, to this point where they're doing their jobs. They, in the actual story itself, like, they're just presenting allegations. And Rutgers had the opportunity to respond with some actual substance. And it was almost like they gave these people online who love to troll and go crazy this avenue to go wild because Rutgers was purposely vague.
Yep.
They purposely didn't answer stuff. And we saw Pat Hobbs' response when he was called by Keith Sargent to call him fucking scum.
That really bothered me.
It bothered me. I just thought to a certain extent, and this was where I think Steve lost, you know, Steve Politti came into the fight a little bit, and I understood he was standing up for Keith as I was online. I just didn't want it to go away where the substance and the story is still the abuse. And that's what I think Keith would rather everybody focus on.
Of course.
Alleged abuse.
The reason that the fucking scum thing really bothered me, it's not Pat Hobbs losing his cool, because people do that. When you lose your cool, you know, you might call someone an asshole. And that wasn't so much of an outburst by Pat Hobbs, in my view. That was a revelation of how he feels about journalists and people just doing their job. And that part of it just really rubbed me the wrong way. Like, I'm that's not the first time he's referred to journalists that way. I feel like that, you know what I mean? Like, that word is not used just out of nowhere in your brain. That part of it really bothered me. Like, really, that's what you think? That's what's coming out? I just think it's more of a revelation of what's going on in his mind, usually, than it was just an angry outburst at a reporter for doing his job. That's what really got to me.
He usually seems like a very poised and controlled person, so I don't know what exactly about this story is what set him off. Whether there's potential that he thought whether it's true, and he thought that they did the right thing, and he thought that he was bothered by Keith continuing to look into it and thought that he wasn't getting a fair shake. I don't see that as a plausible excuse in this case, though.
Yeah.
So I just got a little frustrated with, I'm going to listen to Keith. Keith was like, at some point, this can't be about me. I get people are being angry. Like, at some point, and it's proven true. It's the way the news cycle today works. We're a week gone by, and there's no talk about this.
Oh, yeah, it just kind of went away.
Which we said was going to happen. And the only thing that is going to be, now that we have to wait on, is this, quote, you know, independent investigation, whatever
love
that
these,
actually
I
means.
I love these independent.
Rutgers hired a law firm that is going to exonerate Rutgers. Like, that is what is going, like, that's, like, Keith was kind of hinting at it with some sarcasm on the podcast that he was doing. It's like, he kept saying, if they go about this the right way, if they go about it, like, basically saying, I've done the reporting. I am totally standing by everything that has come my way and that I have done my due diligence on. And Rutgers is pretty much going to probably come in and be like, well, about that.
I think the bigger, not the bigger story, I think the more interesting thing to talk about is not necessarily have the conversation of whether or not, you know, you feel that this was abuse or you feel that this was, these were, you know, normal Division I coaching tactics, because I don't think that conversation ever goes anywhere. People have made up their mind on what they are okay with coaches doing and not okay with coaches doing. My issue is this, and I would hope that everyone can agree with this, based on the history here, based on everything that we have seen, and based on the fact that the big troublemaker here, aside from some of the tactics by Kristen Butler, the softball coach, appear to be from her husband, who was an assistant with
a volunteer assistant coach.
But, you know, based on from the story,
around
it's like
the program all the time.
Around the program all of the time.
I'm with you. Here's my problem. Rutgers, you've been down this road before. This is softball. This is softball. You're higher, and who that head coach brings to work with him or her on their staff cannot in any way negatively affect the program and cause you a headache. Bottom line, it's not an important enough sport for Pat Hobbs to be giving his 100% focus to softball.
But that, but it goes beyond that. Forget that part of it. Knowing the history here and knowing the climate and knowing that we've had these stories in the past, whether it be with Mike Rice or whether it be with Javon Tyree and the problems that he had on the football team or the swimming coach and everything that happened with Petra Martin, I'm going to read to you what was in this NJ.com story about Marcus Smith, the volunteer assistant, in his past from before he was at Rutgers, okay? Or before he was a volunteer assistant. In March 2016, when he was in his second season as head coach at Owen, Smith was suspended while the school investigated complaints of the coach's conduct, according to records obtained by NJ Advanced Media through an Ohio Open Records law request. According to the records, the allegations against Smith include at least 14 claims of inappropriate behavior, including wondering aloud if a player was a lesbian, intimidating players, revealing medical information about players, and telling them, "I do not need to respect you." He certainly bullied a lot of girls. He's just done so many horrible things to these girls. That's the mother of one of the players there. Treated young girls like trash, another player. This is where one of the things that Rutgers' response really bothered me. Rutgers claimed all coaches undergo background checks, and the school said it was aware Smith was investigated and cleared at Owens. Rutgers also noted he was later honored as Conference Coach of the Year. Rutgers, guys, girls, if this is in this guy's past, why are you letting him near the athletic department? Why are you doing that? You know the history here. Like, what are you doing? Why? It just shows so much incompetence, in my view, based on everything that we've seen around here. Just don't let him around the program. It's not that hard.
Yep.
Like, it's softball. Like, or it's any of the programs. You shouldn't do that. What, they won? They can't finish in sixth place in the Big Ten? Like, they're probably going to end up firing the softball coach anyway. In my, like, I assume that's probably going to happen. And you could have gotten ahead of this. And once you get, you shouldn't have hired the guy in the first, or hired the coach in the first place who's going to bring this assistant around. Knowing this history, that Rutgers claims that they knew his history, but they allowed him around the program anyway. And eventually, you know, he was asked to leave or made to leave or whatever in the spring, you know, and he went onto a team bus and allegedly said, "It smells like period blood in here." Like, really, this is the guy you have around your softball team and around your athletic department? Why? Why are you so incompetent to allow that around? I don't understand. I don't get it. Why?
Yeah, I'm with you. We could have the debates about, oh, is the conditioning too severe? Like, what makes somebody soft or tough? Like, I'm with you. That
People have already made up their mind. Right. I'm on the side of, you don't need to coach this way to be good at sports.
I'm more along that line, too. Yeah. It's just not like everybody's going to have their opinion on that. I'm with you where it's like, you just can't get into that position if you're Rutgers, knowing the history and what's gone on. Why, like, when you had this interview with this head coach, or you're about to hire this head coach, you know what her husband has essentially done. You've got the background check. You sit down with her and you don't go, by the way, make or break, is this person going to be on your staff and around the program? If you say yes, you're not getting the job. If you say no, we're going to keep an eye on you. And you maybe are allowed to coach this team, and we'll believe you that you can kind of do things on your own. The guy should have never, ever been around that softball program, ever. And that goes back to where Rutgers failed horribly and failed the girls that led to those feeling abused. Right or wrong, and whether you want to go into the details again of every single thing that was brought up in that report, I don't think it's a very fair argument at all to be like, it was smart and fair to hire that coach. In no other job would you be hired with that background that that guy had, right? Like, if I had those past transgressions and things that were brought up, like, and I was applying to a job and somebody called my past employer and told them those things, even if all of it wasn't true in the end, that prospective job would never give me a chance. I don't understand why Rutgers would then allow this person to be around the softball program.
I 100% agree with you. Why put yourself in that position? From a purely cynical standpoint, purely practical, forget what you think of the allegations themselves. I don't understand why Rutgers would ever let that coach anywhere near the program. It makes absolutely no sense.
So then are you buying this point? Like, what happens to Pat Hobbs here? Is it just we're waiting now? Like, is Pat Hobbs' job in jeopardy?
I think that we kind of suspected it might be anyway in a weird way based on maybe some interdepartmental...
Well, the conspiracy theory is essentially, which again, Keith said that he will never ever agree with this and say it's absurd to think this, is that affluent boosters who have been pushing Greg Schiano have been sitting on this story, gave it to the NJ Advanced Media guys, put it out there at a time where Pat Hobbs was vulnerable to basically force Pat Hobbs' hand to hire Greg Schiano and eventually push him out.
Isard said he received an email from the one of the attorney for one of the players.
He put the date stamp on it.
From early September. So
before Chris Ash was fired, before everything really...
But here's the thing, Adam. The great thing about conspiracy theories, That was part of it.
I know.
That was right around the time where our buddy, the Rutgers North baseball player, said that Chris Ash was out.
My problem a lot of times is that we get into the deeper conversations that are completely dumb to have about where people stand on something like the conditioning and whatnot, when these people from the start who you're trying to have a conversation with can't even understand how the story kind of comes about, and they completely dismiss everything from the start, which is what bothers me. You can't read that story and be like, I don't believe these girls. I just don't understand how people can read that and think that. If other people, you know, think differently, which clearly they do, I just feel better about myself after reading that and being like, I'm going to give credit. Like, I don't get, again, the double standard to me is, why do you give leniency to the coach and believe them versus what
leadership.
The girls are saying?
Oh, leadership worship. Leader worship.
It's nonsense garbage, obviously. This made up thing about being more mature and knowing more things and leadership and whatnot and being in a head coaching position. Like, what? 10 girls transferred out. 7 went on the record to Keith. Like, Seven versus one.
And I just...
That'd be a whole lot of cooperation to, like, get 7 people's story all the same to just fuck over a coach.
And it's just so easy to not let this around your program. Just don't. That's it. That's all you have to do is not hire this particular softball coach. That's it. That's all you had to do in the first place to avoid this whole firestorm. All right, should we move on to some more fun things?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's fire up RTG over here.
Adam Helfgott has always been a haughty, self-important dipshit.
Facts only. Facts only.
Someone tweeted that.
Yes.
The tweet's been deleted, so I don't have the exact tweet in front of you. The guy deleted the tweet. Birdstash33 on Twitter.
Larry Bird's mustache deleted the tweet?
He said that you were a haughty... You had some kind of response to the softball story.
It's in my profile now. It's in my profile. I changed my profile header in Twitter.
To say haughty, self-important dipshit.
I once called a haughty, self-important dipshit Larry Bird's mustache. That's the quote.
I was so jealous of you because...
Fuck, I didn't even take a screenshot of that.
Yeah, I know. The guy said it. But we saw it. He said you were haughty.
I'm not mad.
He said...
It's
great. He didn't at you. He was just talking to somebody else.
Yeah.
I was so jealous because apparently your like foray into the Rutgers media world over the years has gotten you a reputation with someone. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I know.
That's so cool.
I'm not even one bit
annoyed.
Do
you know who this guy is?
No.
No, and he's like, he's like, Helfgott has always been a haughty, self-important dipshit.
He's talking like he knows me, and he's hiding under a pseudonym of Larry Bird's mustache.
That's so
It's the greatest
thing
ever.
Your dad.
the more I think about it... My brother was correct. He quoted me. He's like, Twitter is the greatest place ever.
It's the best. Twitter's the best. If you're not using Twitter, use Twitter, people. Like, Twitter is, it's wonderful.
It is no,
there's a lot of people take this website way too seriously.
Like, it was funny when you, I know I probably shouldn't, you know, dive into the mentions, and I'm not somebody that's there are some
mentions.
People,
that's like your first mention. What are you talking about?
No. There are people that will come at me based on like an opinion, and I'll call it. And we get into kind of, you know, discussions that are going on. My concern a lot of times is simply that, again, you're talking to people that don't want to put their names on certain stuff, so they go to a certain place. At one point, somebody actually asked me to physically meet them at a certain spot. After having a discussion with them on Twitter, it sounded like I was challenged to a fight on Twitter.
I think that was our buddy Crow Guy. Yeah, I think that was Crow Guy.
No, it wasn't. It was somebody else. Somebody a little bit different.
Gotcha.
Either way, regardless, it's funny. It was a very amusing night for me defending a very serious subject, in my opinion. But it was just one of those things where I will always have the memory, whether or not it exists, and I don't have the photo to prove it now. I was once called a haughty, self-important dipshit.
Not even at you.
On Twitter.
Someone talking about you. I was jealous.
It was fucking great.
I was jealous that you'd gain that.
Oh, it was really good.
You had gained that
notoriety.
That notoriety, yeah. All right. Should we move on to the next?
Yeah. Do we have anything else?
Yeah, we do have some stuff here. So let's fire up RTG for our next topic.
Joe Moorhead's favorite musical act is Notorious B.I.G.
Notorious.
So there is this great article that Brett McMurphy wrote for Stadium about the favorite musical acts of FBS college football coaches. He asked apparently every single coach, and we have the favorite bands and musical acts of every single FBS football coach. Did you happen to see who Nunzio Campanelli's favorite artist was? Billy Joel. It's fine. Yeah.
Like, is it like I only like 80s Billy Joel?
It just says Billy Joel. Like, that's all it says. There are some really interesting ones on there. Walt Bell, head coach at UMass. Tool. Favorite band is Tool.
Interesting.
Yeah, weird choice. A lot of college football coaches really like the Dave Matthews Band.
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
I actually really like the Dave Matthews Band, but I don't like the people, other people who like the Dave Matthews Band. Do you have anything like that? Something you like, but you don't like the other people that you like?
Yeah.
I know what the answer is for you.
I'm saying, what was going to be my
Barstool?
Answer? Yeah, I guess that, now that you brought it up, that probably definitely fits that. Any really interesting ones? Charlie Strong likes John Legend?
Apparently.
That's a...
Dana Holgorsen, Prince?
I like Prince.
Yeah, Prince is good.
I got no. Manny Diaz is U2. No.
No. Thanks. Oh, U2. No. No way.
I've grown to hate U2 so much because of what Apple has done, where they just, your phone turns on and they just fucking start playing Bono. Enough. Please. Uncle on U2. Need that.
Never been in on U2.
Yeah. No, I'm not in whatsoever. See a little Eric Church on here. Gary Patterson is an Eric Church fan. I guess that's not too surprising.
Jim Harbaugh, Bob Marley.
Okay, he definitely is like a little out there. I could see like Jim being, feeling the spirit, feeling the vibe of Marley.
A lot of coaches are Eagles fans.
Bull
on the Eagles.
Shit, James Franklin's favorite artist is Jay-Z. Like, he's such a fucking phony. He's such a phony. He's like, what will make me kind of seem cool to like kids still today? Jay-Z, you're fucking fake, James. No way. No way does he like Jay-Z as his favorite artist.
What do you have James Franklin as?
Like
Hall & Oates?
No, because that's actually really good. That'd be a good pick if you like Hall & Oates. Like, he was definitely afraid to say like Madonna or something.
You think
like that.
So? You think he was afraid to say that? So, I mean, Joe Moorhead.
Butch Davis, Fleetwood Mac.
I saw that.
Okay, you know what? Good that he wasn't a real candidate here at Rutgers.
You don't like Fleetwood Mac? I like Fleetwood Mac. Fleetwood Mac's good. Fleetwood Mac's got some bangers.
Meatloaf, Jay Hobson at Southern Miss is a Meatloaf fan.
Kevin Sumlin, Drake.
Okay, that seems, again, a little bit of... I could buy
you don't
that.
You don't believe these coaches are listening to modern music?
Yeah, I don't. Jason Toledo's favorite artist apparently is Jay-Z too.
Jason Candle. If his last name was Toledo.
I keep doing that. Yeah, Jason Candle is a
there, this is
Jay-Z
a really good
fan.
List. We'll tweet it out again, but there's a lot of really interesting guys here who are or bands here that people like, not a single like, I'm not female surprised, musician.
Not surprised one bit that Chris Peterson's favorite band is Creedence Clearwater Revival. that doesn't surprise me one bit that he ended up in Washington, up around there.
Les Miles, 21 Savage. I believe that actually.
Yeah, I could. What's Coach O? What's Coach O's favorite?
Oh, let's see. Ed Orgeron.
Oh, he's CCR too.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that.
I would have thought like Garth Brooks would have been for Coach O.
You would have thought so. Nah, he's too hard for Garth Brooks. Like he's too,
okay.
And, you know,
this is good. This is a good. This is a good. Good article. Well done.
It's a great. It's a great. Great article. We should get to our next topic, which is sort of tangentially related to something we were just talking about.
Do you do any impressions that aren't of Ed Orgeron?
No, I don't.
You have no impressions?
I don't think I have any. When I go back home with my wife to England after spending a week with them, I could do some half decent. I can do some okay British impressions. But I've never been good at impressions. Yeah. Never been good.
I used to be able to do like a Morgan Freeman. I haven't done it in a long time.
Can you combo Morgan Freeman and your Dick Vitale?
Hey, it's awesome, baby. I used to be able to do a Morgan Freeman. I used to be able to do a Bane from Batman. How did that one go? You merely adopted the dog. I was born in it. It used to be a lot
better.
That's
not bad.
And then there's my number one impression that I've always had, which I can only do a little bit because it ruins my throat. But here it goes. This is my Louis Armstrong impression.
As the skies of blue and clouds of white.
That's my
Louis. That would really hurt if you actually did that for like an entire song.
I used to make my, I think it was my 11th grade history teacher laugh a lot with that one.
That's really good. Yeah, no, I got not big on the impressions.
That was really just an excuse for me to do with my Louis Armstrong. That's all right. That's the only reason that topic was inserted into the random topic generator. Also, it's not inserted. It's it just came up randomly. It was a weird thing to come out randomly. Okay, next random topic. How are we doing on time, by the way?
We're good. A little hour. Okay.
How funny is it that the start of the most anticipated Rutgers men's basketball season in 15 years is being overshadowed by the return of Greg Schiano?
It's so funny.
It is.
Poor Rutgers basketball fans.
Yeah, I know. You guys thought you had your moment in the sun, and it's going to happen the week that the basketball season starts. I don't know. So here's the poll. For basketball fans out there, would you rather have Greg Schiano be announced right at the start of the basketball season or right around the time of the Seton Hall game is about to come on up? And like there could be some real buzz around the program at that point. Right? Don't you just want to get it out of the way right now?
Yeah, I think that's probably what they want.
Because Rutgers' football is only going to get worse these last three games. Even when Greg Schiano is hired, I'm pretty positive about it. Like, there's going to be the initial jolt. A lot of talk about it. As Mike has joked about, the season doesn't start until either November 10th or 16th. It's his official start date. He keeps changing back and forth. So get it done right now.
Yeah.
Get it done. And that way, if things do go well, you're going to wind up getting a lot of attention in the winter.
The only problem is that if you hire Greg Schiano now and get it out of the way, you have less time in the corporate name Athletic Performance Center before Greg Schiano kicks you out. That's the only problem. Before it becomes Greg Schiano's, like, you know, his new house or like his
foyer or
something.
How much will it affect the Rutgers basketball offense going into the season if Steve Peichel has to become a blocking sled right now versus 2 weeks into the season?
I don't know.
How will that affect things?
Oh, man.
I am all here for, by the way, the complaining that's going to happen when we start seeing those 5, 6, 7 empty rows in the bottom left of the student section that are roped off because Greg Schiano is bringing his recruits in to see a basketball game at the rack. And he's not going to show up with them at the start of a game. He's going to do what he used to do, show up at halftime and get the ovation.
You know, Adam, I think you can probably speak to this better than I can, but what exactly is the gripe that Rutgers basketball fans have with Greg Schiano? Really fans of, I guess, the non-football programs. Like, what is the gripe? Because I think the impression is that when Schiano was there the first time, he kind of sapped resources from other programs. So I guess maybe can you speak to, like, what exactly that gripe is? Probably, again, better than I can.
The Greg Schiano convinced or at least furthered Bob Mulcahy's vision of figuring out a way for Rutgers to go big time overall and get more attention, more money. I don't know if Bob ever had this grand idea of like Rutgers being in the Big Ten. I don't buy that at all. What I think he was just trying to do is trying to catch up to the big boys that he had, you know, tried to compete with forever. And his token was Greg Schiano, because the basketball program, while it was kind of getting to the certain point under Kevin Bannon, then the whole stuff happened there. Like, basketball just couldn't get over the hump. And early on, it was like they were still around that NIT mark, then a bad year. NIT, they couldn't get to the NCAA tournament. By year three of Greg Schiano, it was like something's happening here. Like, they are improving, and if there's a golden ticket to hop onto, it's going to be football. That was the boom, right? That was like the tech bubble. Like, that college football was the one driving the money at that point with BCS and everything. It was getting to a crazy, crazy point, still is today. So Greg Schiano just had full carte blanche to do what he wanted, and that was direct resources. I mean, I don't think there's a very good argument to make while it helped Rutgers get into the Big Ten. When they announced that they were going to expand the stadium at one point, I was like, they're really going to do this? Like, 42,000 people in New Jersey rarely ever wanted to go to a Rutgers football game. It was a miracle that Greg Schiano got a wait list, basically, essentially, at Rutgers. Like, and they kind of gave that up to expand the stadium. Like, it was just, it's just examples where Greg could do no wrong. Basketball was just an afterthought. Like, we're not going to find a way to build a practice facility. We're not going to go and, you know, Greg would be like, hey, we need to repaint the entire stadium within the next hour. It looks like shit. I'm bringing 50 recruits here next week. And if Gary Waters was like, hey, we haven't had a fresh coat of paint in 3 years, like, can I get something? And Greg would be like, here's one bucket, make your players go and go do it themselves.
Yeah, I guess that's probably fair. I mean, I guess so, without more knowledge, I don't know.
The difference now and why I understand the skepticism is simply that with more money doesn't mean, we know this in real life, more money for the important people doesn't mean they share it, right? Like, that is real life. So Greg Schiano is walking into a situation now that he's always dreamed of at Rutgers. Unlimited money to a certain extent, like real money this time. And like James Cratch was hinting at it on their podcast too, like Greg Schiano gets hired, like wink, wink, that Fieldhouse money is going to be found.
Oh yeah.
Like it's like there may be, you know, construction going on within a month of Greg being hired. And it just,
he's going to ride in on a wrecking ball.
Right.
They're going to knock some building. They're going to knock down that ridiculous.
That may be a good sign. Song idea. At one point,
they're going to knock down that ridiculous welcome center.
Yes.
That they built for no reason.
Yeah, that's gone.
And that's gone. And that's going to be the field house that Greg Schiano is going to ride in on a wrecking ball.
I understand the kind of skepticism that, you know, Greg Schiano is going to get all the focus, get all the attention. Maybe he will. The thing we have no idea about is if Pat Hobbs keeps his job and if Greg Schiano, when Greg Schiano is hired, like, we don't know what kind of relationship they're going to have. I have no idea. Is it like some superpowers coming together and the best thing ever? I mean, maybe. Is it also one of those things where it's like two egomaniacs are just going to fight until Greg forces, you know, Pat Hobbs out if he has success? That's probably what's going to happen.
That was another thing I was thinking about. If/when they hire Greg Schiano, it is going to be so hard to ever fire
Greg
Schiano.
But it was, you know what? Somebody brought up this point too, and it was interesting. Like, I don't know. How does Pat Hobbs get remembered if Steve Peichel does find a way to get Rutgers over the hump, gets one NCAA tournament appearance?
Just one? Can we get greedy?
No, okay. Not yet.
Okay.
Gets one NCAA tournament appearance and brought back Greg Schiano, and Greg within 3 years has Rutgers in a bowl game. Like, would he not be, and for the facilities he's built and everything, he'd be known as the best athletic director ever for Rutgers.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But
that's a fair
does
point.
He view that as selling his soul, though, to hire Greg? Like, but in order to get that notoriety, he had to basically make a deal or just give up control and say, like, I can't fight this anymore.
But what I don't understand is that, like, you know, I think people are like, oh, you're going to hand over control to Greg Schiano. You're going to hand over control to whatever football coach you're going to hire. You think you're going to bring in Butch Jones and Butch Jones is going to be some, like, lapdog?
I guess,
like,
they're concerned about, hey, there's this fundraiser going on and it's specifically, like, all the resources to find the place and get all these people there and all the proceeds are going to football.
But, hey, basketball, you got your practice facility. And you know what? And I think there's an interesting conversation to be had here. I don't know if we want to have it right now. And maybe we've actually already had this conversation. Is Rutgers in the Big Ten without Greg Schiano? Like, if this was the level of football that was going on at Rutgers 10 years ago? Does the Big Ten invite? There's no way they invite Rutgers, right? Like if this was the football they thought they were getting, I don't think they ever would have invited Rutgers. I think it's about the New York market and everything, but like, if they wanted a bad football program, they could have invited UConn and gotten
more
basketball viewers.
Jim Delaney was able to fake it on that introductory press conference and be like, oh, there's potential here. Like, here's, they've gone to a bowl game 8 out of the last 10 years. Like, you can't say that anymore. So, yes, there is no Big Ten. It's 100% true without Bob Mulcahy, without Greg Schiano, and to a certain extent without Tim Pernetti. There's no doubt about that. It's just, again, I could understand the basketball people who were like, man, just when we thought we were getting our time to shine and the focus was going to be on Rutgers basketball, that spot, as soon as Greg is hired, nobody is going to be focusing on basketball get to the Seton Hall game.
Maybe. I also could foresee a situation on Thursday where they try to break out the Rutgers basketball starting lineup video, and then it's just Greg Schiano's gap-tooth grin on the video board. And then it's being announced that the game has been moved to the Livingston Gym, and Greg Schiano's having an introductory party at the rec, and they're going to move the game over to the outdoor courts over there at the Livingston Gym. And Rutgers basketball, your time in the sun is up.
I'm trying to be Mr. Optimism. I think Greg Schiano's going to be hired. I think him and Pat Hobbs are going to get past their differences, and things are going to work out
about
great.
That, man. And I don't know about that.
Rutgers will just lose 40-17 next year, the next couple of years, to the great schools.
That would be great if they lost 40-17 to Michigan next year.
I don't know what's going to happen. I obviously, like, it's interesting.
The next couple of years of football are going to be painful, I think, no matter what. His first few years, the first time, it doesn't matter. Like, you could bring in Nick Saban, and the next couple of years here are going to be painful. I think we have exhausted everything from that topic.
She's tired.
There's one more thing that she's trying to spit out. So let's just
let's give her a shot.
Let's let her spit it out.
Willie Tiger got fired by Florida State after 21 games. He would have gotten more time if he was white.
Huh? I mean, that's strong. I agree with her, but that's kind of strong there.
Okay. So. Boy, I'm trying to collect my thoughts. That one caught me a little bit off guard. I'll start with pay the players. If you could find $20 million within pretty much a 24-hour span to fire Willie Taggart, there's enough money to go around. Number one.
I got a pay the players song idea, by the way. I do. I don't know if it's going to come together, but I got a song idea.
Now, I saw it today on Twitter. Deion Sanders was tweeting. There were a few other notable...
Sorry, I just wanted to say prime.
Former black athletes, current broadcasters who have a lot of clout, who are basically like, it was Uncle Luke. Uncle Luke started it. Miami rapper.
Luther Campbell.
Yep. Who was basically like, y'all not going to give like a black dude more than a year and a half. How the fucker?
21 games.
Is any black coach going to succeed at a major school, essentially? And there is a lot like... You can't have this discussion, I think, without the race aspect. Like, I don't think it can be ignored entirely.
Oh, and the team was awful. Like for Florida State, for the talent that they have, they were bad.
Now,
but 21 games is like, he got half the amount of time that Chris Ash got. And, like, I know in Chris Ash's case, he got a lot more. But, like, and it's a different situation. I'm just saying that, like, 21 games is not a lot of games.
And at the standard, like, Florida State's at a different standard than Rutgers. And by all accounts, Jimbo Fisher threw his hands up and said, fuck it, on his way out. Like, there are reports out there that Willie Taggart took over, went to go recruit kids who you would think Florida State would have been interested in under Jimbo Fisher. They had never heard once from Florida State. Like, it's essentially skipping over the fact that Willie Taggart was kind of left with this really bad situation in Tallahassee where he had to do this whole new recruiting. He had to figure out how to win and get past the Bobby Bowden legacy and then what Jimbo Fisher did. Like,
yeah,
it was a no-win situation. And they're bad. But I didn't, like, think going into this weekend against Miami, like, he was coaching for his job.
Like, you're hiring a new coach and you're going to give him a year and a half. Like, it wasn't that bad. Like, they're bad, but they're not that bad.
There were people, like, desperate enough to be like, yes, here is $17 million to not go work. Away.
Good for Will. I mean, yeah. Bad for Willie Taggart. He's an
American.
Taggart.
Like, Willie Taggart is an American hero.
Him and Chris Ash are like sipping like margaritas on a beach somewhere, just hanging out. Laughing. Like, look at all this money we've made from not work.
I don't know. I don't think I am the expert to speak in terms of, like, without knowing the situation, how race was involved in this, but I'm not going to also ignore it.
I mean, who's the white coach who's gotten fired after 21 games? I don't know who that is without, like, some sort of major scandal. I can't come up with one. And that's that. I think RTG said it best.
Sure.
Okay.
I would agree.
I think we've exhausted everything in the random topic generator. I think we have. We haven't. Oh, basketball. We haven't talked any basketball, really.
Who is Bryant? Do you ever know anybody named Bryant?
No. Brian Gumbel. I don't know. Bryant Westbrook, I think, was a football player, a cornerback, I want to say. Bryant is kind of a weird name. Also the name of a college.
Yeah.
If there are any Bryants in our audience, let us know. Not Brian.
Yeah.
Bryant.
I have a feeling the running joke, like we used to joke, if you haven't picked up on it now, whenever we said that Mike was suspended, going back to last year, we never actually told you the story. I don't know if we're ever going to get to a Rutgers basketball season preview. It may actually happen by like midway through Big Ten play.
I don't know. I think we'll get to it before then. But I think that Mike has
now.
Been,
in all fairness, a lot is going on right now.
A lot is going on. Football coaching search.
Basketball fans, this was a preview of what's going to happen in a couple days, or it has already happened when Greg Schiano is or has been hired, and you're hijacked.
Yeah,
you're gone.
We will talk plenty of basketball this year. Mike has been against doing a preview episode until like they start playing real teams, the first real team being St. Bonaventure.
You brought up something good before we started this, and I do agree with you. Basketball is a little bit different in terms of preview and what people know and whether you've been at practice. It doesn't really matter that much. I thoroughly enjoy when you get into basketball season because that's your sport, and you pick up on a lot of things that I don't really pick up on, and Mike, working at The Athletic and the analytics that he brings to this, it's actually a very fascinating way you can look at Steve Peichel's teams. I think we do a very good job at that.
Yeah.
So we don't need to be here and be like, who's going to be the one that steps up this year to, you know, who's the team leader for Rutgers? Like,
I do think it's a really interesting season. I don't know.
There's legit buzz.
I don't know how good they're going to be, but I do know that, you know, it's going to be a very interesting season. There are like 7 players on the roster that you could tell me at the end of the year is going to be the best player. Could it be Ron Harper? Could it be Akwasi Aboah? Could it be Caleb McConnell? Could it be Montez Mathis? Could it be Geo Baker? Could it be Miles Johnson? I don't know if I missed anyone in there. Jacob Young could be the best player on the team by the end of the season. We have no idea. They appear to be deep. I don't know if anyone has any insight on what the rotations are going to be, and I don't think Steve Peichel knows what the rotations are going to be at this point, because there's going to be, in the early going, I would assume, a lot of mixing and matching. I don't know how creative they're going to get against Bryant. Are they going to kind of rotate in players a lot? Are they going to press? Jerry Carino, heard some of his interview with the Scarlet Spotlight last week on his preview of the Rutgers basketball season. He seems pretty convinced that they're going to run and they're going to press and they're going to play more interestingly. And I did bring it up before the podcast that there's not all that much, I guess, information to know before the season starts. It's not like football where you can really get insight from the guys who were there and watching how the, you know, not that this was a big secret, but Richie told us in the football preview episode was like, this offensive line scares me. And I mean, he was right.
And then he was like, there's a lot of wide receivers. Maybe one will be decent. That was pretty much like,
you know what? One thing that has happened with Rutgers football, not to get too far off of basketball this
season. Sorry, basketball fans, we're now going to talk about Rutgers football again.
Just about the receivers, I do think these receivers are better than I thought they were.
I would agree.
And that they are creating separation, and we saw them find some good windows against Illinois.
The line play is garbage. That's what it is.
The line play, and Johnny Lang is just not the quarterback who's going to be flinging it all around the field. But basketball-wise, I think it's going to be a really interesting season. I'm looking forward to it. I am looking forward to watching them play against a legitimate competition, St. Bonaventure being the first legitimate competition that they will play, and they'll play Pitt. They'll have their early Big Ten games, and that's when we'll really find out. But I think that the hype is going to start building really quickly in November, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
So let's talk about stuff that I think a lot of fans tend to like to talk about and not get too deep into stuff because we only know so much. Have you ever been around, like when you grew up, like what are your memories of like the rack? Like, do you have fond memories of the rack?
Let's see.
Like, honestly, like what do you, like, because I think we've had this conversation before where you, Like, if I was like, the Rack's going to be knocked down, they're going to play somewhere else in some new building, I don't think you'd be terribly upset.
Oh,
that the Rack
no. I absolutely would be. I haven't honestly had a lot of good men's basketball experiences at the Rack. My first game at the Rack was the first game of the Fred Hill era, when they lost like 57-40 to Kansas, to Bob Huggins in Kansas State. And I was like, oh, okay, this is Rutgers basketball. All right, this isn't great. No, the Rack is awesome. I saw so many great women's basketball games there over the years. The most memorable one being Epiphany Prince scored like 28 points in the second half against UConn in 2008, I want to say. The Rack was sold out that night. It was an awesome night. I've seen that place sold out 2 years ago against Seton Hall. I know that the Rack doesn't mean as much to me as it probably does to you, but I don't want to see them knock down that place. I was actually talking to my mom, who was talking about how she thinks she saw the Smithereens at the Rack sometime in the early 80s. The Smithereens were at the New Jersey Hall of Fame ceremony a couple weeks ago that Greg Schiano happened to be at. My mom was there too. And she was talking about how she was at the Rack, and that was the last time she was at the Rack. I was like, don't worry, Mom, it's exactly the same. That shithole is the same shithole it always has been.
But it's ours.
But it's our shithole.
Right.
And I absolutely would be mad if they knocked it down. Now, if they knock it down to build Greg Schiano's new house, that's fine.
I haven't been this excited in a long time in terms of like picking out some games, and I've had friends text me who I've convinced to get football tickets over the years who are now like, can we pick a basketball game to go? I mean, that doesn't happen. Uh-huh. And they are going to sell out a majority of their weekend games for sure in the Big Ten, because they were doing it the last couple of years. And they're going to, if there is, I just want that, give me that one top 10 upset back finally. I haven't had it since I was a kid. You know, I wasn't there for Florida, so I did not see that upset in person. I didn't see the UConn upset at home under the Mike Rice. I did see Wisconsin, but that was when Comiskey wasn't playing, and that just felt weird. It was fun. It was cool under Eddie Jordan, but you want to be decent, have a shot at like postseason, and you want that. Like that signature win, even though it was Seton Hall a couple of years ago, it could be them this year. But I am really dying for like a signature Big Ten win at home under Steve Peichel.
But I also think beating Seton Hall this year would be big, because Seton Hall is, I think, their 12th ranked to
by
start
the season.
By the
time they play them, they will be
and
top 10.
I don't know if you've driven down Route 78. I saw a lot Seton Hall billboards up along Route 78, and I'm guessing in other places too. So that's going to be fun. And I think, oh man, how much...
There's some hatred back, by the way.
And how much fun is this going to get if Rutgers and Seton Hall are both good? Like that to me is the dream. I know a lot of people just kind of
Jerry Carino's dream.
Root against Seton Hall, but no, you want Seton Hall to be good. 1,000%. You want Rutgers to be good, and this will get real fun real quickly. I do think, like, I am, for the first time in 15 years, I am fairly confident that Rutgers basketball is not going to be bad, and that's fun to me.
Yep, I'm with you. I like it.
So are we,
I think we're pretty much towards good? The end. I mean, we could do, I have kind of, it's not angry Adam, but I think that I just wanted to kind of follow up on, we talked Halloween last episode with Mike. That was Mike's birthday.
I just saw your text that says skip hoops preview.
Well, no. Skip hoops preview with potentially who we were thinking of, of having on. We will again.
Sorry, Richie.
Yeah. We'll go more in depth at some point, but
went too long.
Yeah, as we always do and get carried away. Just real quick, on Halloween, because Mike was talking about it last episode and I brought it up too, I had no trick-or-treaters.
None?
None.
You have no sidewalks in your neighborhood, right?
So across from my street, that side has a sidewalk. And last year, I had like 4 or 5. It was a really low number. But I came back home. It was a nice, beautiful day out. And I came back home around like 5. There are a fair amount of trick-or-treaters already out with parents, the young kids. I get it. You want to get in out there before it gets dark.
And it's supposed to rain, too.
And supposed to rain. I had nobody.
None. There, we got a lot here.
So I ordered pizza, and I was like, you know, obviously, tip your delivery folk well, people.
You tip them with candy?
I was like, also, do you want some candy? And it just came out very weird at that point. He gave me the look, and I was like... No, I have cash for you too. Like, I'm not tipping you
in candy.
Like, you know what? Here, just take the bowl and the cash and go away. That's pretty much what I wanted to do. I did not light the pizza box on fire.
Yeah. If you listen to our episode, The Scarlet Screw Light, with guest Danny Breslauer from over the summer, Adam put a cardboard pizza box in the oven for some reason and nearly burned his house down.
Yeah. Testing my reflexes very quickly, though. And by the way, since it's the bye week,
We're off from gambling this week. No gambling.
Have you been keeping track of our records?
No, but I don't think I've been that bad.
Okay.
So let's just make it up. I'm pretty much at like a 56% success rate.
Oh, okay.
I would say.
Because like we were supposed to be some sort of shame involved with whoever came in last.
Yeah. And shocking. We didn't follow through with
that.
Idea.
No, we can do it. Because what were our punishments? I think Mike's was that he had to sit through it and go to a lacrosse game and sit through the entire game. Mine was that I had to sit there during a recording of the Scarlet Spotlight podcast, and I'm not allowed to say anything. I had to travel to my two least favorite things in the world, traveling to Manhattan and listening to the Scarlet Spotlight, and I would have to do both of those as my shame for losing at football picks. And I forget exactly what yours was.
We were going to do an episode. I was going to wear a shock collar, and anytime I interrupted you guys, you were allowed to shock me.
Oh, it's good that you bring that up, because today on my computer I was going through, I was trying to clean things up. I don't know if you get your folders in your computers sometimes get a little disorganized and you like to clean things up a little bit. So today I was cleaning some things up, and I found a really funny clip, or what would have been a really funny clip if Adam didn't ruin it. So back when we went to the Eric LeGrand Cornhole Tournament, it was actually our least downloaded episode ever. If you haven't listened to that episode, it was a lot of fun. Like, it was a disaster, but that episode was awesome. And well, it's our least downloaded episode since we started at Rivals.
Don't make us tweet at Eric and say that was the least downloaded ever, and then you're going to make him feel bad. So you should go back and
It was because it was a terrible like broadcast.
Oh, no, I know.
Live broadcast, live-ish from the Eric LeGrand Cornhole Tournament. Anyway, had a lot of fun interviews that day. We talked to Steve Politti and James Cratch about how terrible they were at Cornhole. They lost to the Michael Jordan of Cornhole. We had a really fun interview with DJ Yoshi, the former DJ at Rutgers football games. And listen to Adam ruin what would have been a great clip to play for the rest of time.
You got that Frank Sinatra.
There it is.
So Adam, being, what are you, like you're an MC at weddings? What do you call it? And bar mitzvah, what do you call that? What's the name of the host? Yeah. What is that called?
Master of ceremony.
Master of ceremony, sure.
/ DJ.
And so he was asking DJ Yoshi, like, hey, what are some annoying things that people like to ask you? And he was giving us a great clip, but Adam, because he has to interrupt you all the time, does this.
You got that Frank Sinatra.
There it is.
Like, he was saying it. He's in the middle of saying it. Why'd you do that, man?
I don't know. Tend to, for some reason, want to finish people's sentences.
Okay.
One of those things. Yeah. I don't know if it makes it, I don't know why my brain makes me think that I have a connection with that person, or it makes them think that we have a connection. But yeah, I've tried to get, be better.
Oh.
Last week it was Mike.
Yeah, no, that's fair. What did Mike do last week?
He kept interrupting you last
week. Oh, he did keep interrupting last week. Just some more house cleaning here. People were getting on Sarge. Obviously, you got a lot of crap from Rutgers fans. Instead of giving him, crap for being a journalist, what you should have given him crap for is this.
I think Rutgers will beat Boston College.
From our season preview extravaganza.
I think Rutgers will beat Boston College.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, that one didn't age very well.
Go after Sarge for that one.
Yeah.
Bad picks on that. I think Rutgers will beat Boston College.
Oh, man. There's been a lot of good stuff. This is fun.
Good.
I look forward to this every single day. We are finding a way to get through football season.
Yeah. Yeah. So we
had to be somewhat entertaining.
Yeah. I didn't make a song this week. Thank you for making a song.
You're welcome.
I'll bring it back. I think people got a little spoiled. I think they did.
They did.
I think because last week, Coach and Piscataway, that song should have. Like, I know that Rutgers fans are all like old and aren't necessarily, they don't really know the Backstreet Boys, but that was a masterpiece. And the fact that more people weren't into it, I think just spoiled. I think I spoiled them with all the songs. So I'm going to cool it down for a little bit. Bring it back. Also, the other thing, and maybe we'll put this in this episode, or maybe we won't. You can go find it on YouTube. The Rutgers basketball hype rant. I think people want one for basketball season. I don't want to do it now. So the bad news is you're not going to get one before basketball season. The good news is I'm going to take a wild guess and say you're going to get one sometime in the next month.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
So
that's fair.
If you haven't heard it, Rutgers basketball hype rant on YouTube.
We'll put it on Twitter. A bunch of times.
We'll put it. I mean, people have seen it on Twitter. By the way, follow us on Twitter. Use Twitter. I know, like, there's this weird bubble of people who use Twitter, and like we think it's like the lifeblood of media, and don't realize like how small of a world it is, and people are using Facebook and like Instagram more. We also have to use Instagram more. We haven't been doing that.
By the way, what happened with Facebook today? They went all capital letters.
Yeah,
on
all capital letters.
Angry.
No, it just goes along with all the memes that people make on Facebook, where everyone gets their news from now. They get their news from memes. They don't read anymore. They just get it from, memes about politicians
who
you may or may not like. I don't want to get into it. But
let's skip.
One of the disappointing things about the last couple of years is that one side started getting more into the memes than I was hoping, because the other side was really into the memes for a long time. I was like, oh, other side's better. Nope. Love the memes too. Let's move on.
All right.
Memes everywhere. Stop watching cable news. It's ruining your brain.
All righty.
We do done? You, do you want to do angry ad? Did you want to do angry ad?
No, no, that was, it was the, I, the trigger. I was angry at first. Oh, I had okay. Trick-or-treaters. Then I realized I was just disappointed, upset. Okay. We're getting soft as a as a country.
Any good Halloween stories? Anything happen?
Or? No. I was literally sitting there with a bowl of candy waiting to, you know, give candy out to kids.
That's sad. So I feel bad for you.
But I learned my lesson. Last year, I got about $60 worth of candy, Jesus. Which is a lot of candy. And I only had about 4 or 5 trick-or-treaters this year. I dropped it down to about $15 worth. And now I just have snacks for the next couple months.
Yeah. All right. So. I think we should close this. We'll play your song. But we're going to show you why we're better than the Rutgers Rant podcast, because they tried to do something at the beginning of their podcast today that they couldn't do because they don't know what they're doing. But we know what we're doing. So in honor of Greg Schiano coming back, let's play you this. We're not going to play this.
Welcome back.
They tried to do it.
Your dreams for your ticket out.
Because they're not as good at it.
Welcome back.
Shout out to our people, by the way, at Rutgers.Rivals.com. All right, go check them out. Go premium today. Also, go check out InSpiritCollegeBrand.com as the RTG, Random Topic Generator. She's like RGB, but RTG.
Wait, you mean?
Ruth, RBG.
Yeah, RGB is like the color
and
spectrum.
Slash RG3, yeah. I was going to say we came up with pounding nails for underwear for InSpiritCollegeBrand.
Right.
I mean, the first thing that's being done is we're getting Keep Chopping underwear.
Nice.
That has to happen. Yeah.
Has to happen. Again, I really hope this podcast gets on Greg Schiano's radar. That would be so funny.
All right, I'm going to work. We're good. We've ran our course here on this one. I'm going to go and text Richie, and we're going to start laying the groundwork to have that question asked of whether or not Greg Schiano was heard. We can get Schiano made.
Asking Chris Ash a question, a little different than asking Greg Schiano a question.
We'll see.
I don't want to. You know, whatever. We'll talk about this another time.
We'll see you guys next week.
All right, pay the players.
Well, we have an open job. You are an intern. Let's see your coaching resume. Nick Saban can be stern.
Oh, Lyle, Lyle, Lyle. This job's a powder keg. I guess we only need you if we don't get Greg.
You followed Brian Kelly and had so much success. Then you went to Knoxville and now they're just a mess.
Oh, Lyle, Lyle, Lyle. This job's a powder keg. I guess we only need you if we don't get Greg.
What system would you go with so we could score a point? Art or Johnny Langan, which QB would you anoint?
Oh, Lyle, Lyle, Lyle. This job's a powder keg. I guess we only need you if we don't get Greg.
I have a major question for you about this job. Do you have jersey ties or know someone in the mob?
Oh, Lyle, Lyle, Lyle. This job's a powder keg. It's time for me to tell you it's going to be Greg.